Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Conspiranormal with your host,
Adam Sane.
And your co-host, yours truly,
Luke Reed. What's up, Luke?
How's it going, man?
What's up? That's my announcer voice, dude.
I know. It was very impressive.
Thanks, man.
You should really think about
doing voiceover work.
So, what you been up to?
A little bit of drinking, sprained my ankle, you know.
Yeah, how'd you sprain your ankle?
I was in a trampoline gym trying to show off. We were the only adults jumping there, and I was trying to show off in front of my girlfriend, so I tried to do a front flip off the side tramp wall and come down and landed all my weight on top of my leg, and my ankle made a popping sound.
Trying to show off for your woman?
Yeah, we were the only adults jumping. The rest of the whole gym's just filled with kids.
Sounds like fun, man.
It was a blast, and up until that point.
Now that you can barely walk.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're recording on a different computer tonight than
right.
usual.
Like, one,
an actual better computer.
That has a good sound card in it.
Yeah, because my other computer just decided to just go, you know, just die, so we're still working on that.
Good old trusty Dell.
But we just listened to something really interesting. This is an interview done with a guy named, I think his name was Michael Shrimpton, on a local radio station in Bristol, England, and it's talking about the Jimmy Savile case. If no one's familiar with that, that's the case where the famous DJ was accused of molesting various children after he died. And it's basically talking about how there was a pedophile ring that involved a former ex-prime minister. And so he's talking about this, and the presenter asks him a question. And he says, he just mentions something to the effect of, well, you know, we're the good guys because, talking about how the British intelligence services are the good guys because, we're the good guys because the Germans, and somehow he's talking about like German intelligence services through the whole thing, because the Germans would never get Mexican drug cartels to go in and shoot up a school like Sandy Hook. He just mentions that and then just goes on.
Yeah. We have here in America have never heard any kind of theory involving some kind of Mexican drug cartel shooting up Sandy Hook.
No, I don't think anybody in England has heard of that either.
That's just completely outlandish and just off the wall.
Yeah. Well, what's bizarre about it is that he just mentions it as like, oh, yeah, it was Mexican drug cartels.
Nonchalantly. And then the other guy, the interviewer or whatever, didn't even
Doesn't
flinch.
Even press him on it. Yeah. It's very strange. Does the guy know something? Because he was involved with the MI6 intelligence, and he wrote a book called Spy Hunter, which, as I understand, apparently nobody can find. He's a barrister in England, which means he's a lawyer, I believe that's what that means. And just very bizarre.
He'll probably die soon.
Yeah, probably. Probably find him strangled himself or something like that.
Most likely a heart attack.
So, Luke, I understand you were looking into e-cigarettes before we got started.
I'd just seen an advertisement on Adam's computer about e-cigarettes, and I just looked up the... Because I've been kind of wondering, you know, some of my friends are like, oh, look what I got, you know, showing off their new little toys. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's great. And I know there has to be some kind of health risk involved, so I looked it up, and it turns out the FDA is actually against them and lists like four or five bad chemicals that show up in all of the brands that they had tested in the FDA trials.
These are the cigarettes that people, well, they're the smokeless. They just give out water vapor and just deliver nicotine.
Right, and a lot of people are under the impression that it's going to help them, like, wean them off of cigarettes, you know, help them quit smoking. But the FDA says right here it contains diethylene glycol, a poisonous and hygroscopic liquid, and those are in the smoking everywhere. Those are the cartridges from Smoking Everywhere Company. And tobacco-specific nitrosamines, known cancer-causing agents, were found in almost every cartridge that the FDA tested in the trials. and as well as anabasine and myosmine. I don't know what those are. I've never heard of them at all, but apparently they're not good.
It must be good for you, man.
Yeah, they might help you quit smoking, but they'll give you cancer in the meantime, and also cause neuro problems.
Well, that's a good trade-off for lung cancer, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Get some neurotoxic toxicity in your system.
If everybody would only smoke American Spirits, we'd all be all right.
Yeah, you could be a hipster.
Hey, hipsters are health conscious, man.
That's right, man. Anything else on your mind lately?
There's been a few things. I guess I could try to recall throughout the show, but...
Nothing much. Well, anyway. We have on tonight Doc Marquis. He is a former Illuminati witch. Yeah. And we talked about him last week a little bit with Chris, who, by the way, isn't here again tonight. So
he's got an important job to
do. We, of course, miss him, and the show is going to be woefully incomplete and not be as good as usual.
Right.
As if Chris, when Chris is not here.
This episode will get 10 downloads versus Chris's 100-something.
Yeah. Because, you know, it is the best when Chris is here. You know, it's only quality when he's here.
Top shelf.
But, so we have Doc Marquis coming on. I hope it'll be an interesting interview to talk about, the Illuminati and how he was an Illuminati witch. And try to get him to talk a little bit about the Illuminati cards, too, Luke.
Yeah.
Which I know is something that you're kind of interested in.
Yeah, I think I talked about him on an old show or whatever, but...
Yeah.
I don't really see him as a tool for divination or whatever, or prediction, but it's strange.
They were a role-playing game, if I'm not mistaken? A card role-playing game?
Yeah, that's what I understand it as. It's just like a trading card. I never looked into how to play the game or whatever, but, you know, the card that comes to my attention is the one depicting a president that looks just like Obama, and these cards were made in 1995.
And he's got like stuff thrown at him, and
you know, the card, the name like of the card is Backlash, yeah. And then you've got Combined Disasters, and there was this whole deal that I found when I looked up that card that said that was the earthquake in Japan, you know, and that clock, right. The clock tower that was illustrated on the card was exactly like some kind of clock tower in. What city was it that got hit the hardest? Was it Kyoto?
Well, it was... Well, Tokyo wasn't hit as hard. It was... I can't remember the name of the city. It started with an M. With an N. That was the epicenter of it. But Tokyo had some damage, but it wasn't as bad as...
Right, right.
It was like in the northern part of Japan.
Nagasaki or something like that? I don't remember.
No. Whew. Put me on the spot there, man.
That's how I feel all the time.
But yeah, we want to try to get him to talk a little bit about that. As far as I know, that they're just role-playing games. They're based on the Illuminati series,
right.
Which was written by Robert Anton Wilson, I think, in the 70s and the 80s. And then the cards came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, you know, that whole, like, kind of Illuminati and Discordian and Church of the Subgenius kind of... you know, melange there between just kind of, it's all kind of tongue in cheek and all this kind of a weird, you know, so it's, I don't know. We've had to get his opinion on it and see what he thinks they are.
It should definitely be fascinating.
I'm sure it will be.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. This is a guest I've been wanting to have on for a while. So hopefully everything records well and we don't have another disaster like we did a few weeks ago. So, gonna cross my fingers. So if there's nothing else that we want to do, we'll just go straight to the guest.
Let's do her.
All right, and we'll be right back on Conspiranormal. Okay, we are back on Conspiranormal, and we are happy to have Doc Marquis on the line.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Doc.
Thank you. How are you doing tonight, Adam and Luke?
We are good.
Can't complain.
Good.
So we brought you on tonight. We'd talk about the Illuminati and your experiences being in the Illuminati and how you got out of the Illuminati. And if you could kind of go into who you are, and we'll kind of go into that story.
Okay, well, basically, I was raised in a family of Illuminati witches. This is nothing unusual, because when you look deep enough into the Illuminati, you'll find out that there's a very lot of old bloodlines that go into this particular order. In my family situation, my family bloodline goes all the way back to 1789. So when I was 3 years old and I was dedicated to the cause of Lucifer, I was, at that point, a seventh-generation witch. Now, after I went through my dedication ceremony, for the next 10 years of my life, I was put into what's known as the outer court. Now, the outer court, as I always explain it, is best understood as the Illuminati's version of a seminary. This is where it taught all the rites, the rituals, human sacrifice, how to practice human sacrifice, astrology, gematria, numerology, high magic, low magic. This is where it taught it. But at the same time, I was, as I stated, from a bloodline that at that point was almost 200 years long. So I was learning a lot of other things about key players in the order of the Illuminati. I mean, stuff no one's ever going to find out. Well, anyways, by the time I was 13 years old, I was brought to my dedication ceremony. Now, after a two-hour-long ceremony, the high priest stood me before the altar. The first thing that was put on that altar was a book that was made out of lamb's hide. Now, this in the occult world is known as the Book of the Dead. The second thing they put on it was a quill feather. The third thing they put on it was a silver knife that's, again, in the occult world is known as athame. The high priest picked up that silver knife. He cut my right arm wide open. I had to take that quill feather, dip it in my blood, and sign my new occult name in the Book of the Dead. Once I did that, I was fully initiated as a first-level Illuminati witch, or what's also known as a Druid priest. Believe it or not, this is a common practice. This is nothing unusual. This is just run-of-the-mill type of stuff when you're dealing with the Order of the Illuminati and many other occult groups.
So, Doc, is this something that you're born into?
Well, in my case, yes. Now, not everyone is born into a family of Illuminati witches. There just isn't enough families to keep such a large group going. It just couldn't happen like that. You see, they had many recruiting drowns, if you would. By that, they're looking for very specific individuals with a one-world mentality. So this is why they set up places like Skull and Bones, Skrill and Keys. At Cambridge University in England, you could become a Rhodes Scholar, but that's only if you have that one-world outlook. One of your more recent presidents, Bill Clinton, claimed he was a Rhodes Scholar. That's a lie. He never graduated. He never completed. But you can tell from Bill Clinton, he has that one world, new world order mentality. And that's what they're looking for at these different recruiting places and establishments which they created. And the evidence, I think the evidence speaks for itself nowadays. Even in America, they're trying to literally take us over and put us under that one world, new world order. I think it's quite apparent by now. Let's just take a look at what the usurper to the White House has been doing, and I do mean Obama. For a year now, always been doing is trying to go against the Constitution and take away our Second Amendment rights. Well, when we look throughout history, such as Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Fidel Castro, and so many others, the one thing they always did before they took over the nation was to take away the weapons. This way, no matter how badly the people resisted, well, they had all the weapons. There was nothing that the malcontents, shall we say, could do about it at that point.
Right.
And this is why, when we consider the mentality of our forefathers, they knew something like this could happen again, because America was established because Englishmen broke away from the British crown. That would have been George III at the time, I believe it was, who was a tyrant. And if we look at the Constitution, it tells us we are allowed by right to keep these weapons, and should the case arise, to use them against a tyrannical government. I think it speaks for itself. What do you think?
Well, I think it's pretty clear.
Right. There's all kinds of methods of takeover. Recently I've been watching documentaries about the narco-terrorism and everything that's going on across seas with Russia and surrounding countries. They're just branching out from all angles and taking over more and more countries, just inadvertently, too.
Well, this is something that they finally, shall we say, really turned the screws on, because in the writings of the Illuminati, the one thing that they stated categorically that they would do is that they would create so many wars that we would accept peace at any price. Now, when we consider what's been going on, especially since 9/11, been 13 years almost, we haven't had a moment's peace in this country yet. This is the longest, the most dragged-out war that I'm aware of that we've ever been involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gone on for quite a while.
And I know, because I'm out there, I'm doing many speaking engagements, radio shows, television shows, so on and so forth. I know what the people have been telling me. They are just so sick and tired of all these wars.
Yeah.
This is exactly what the Illuminati wants to put everyone into, so that they will surrender their weapons or whatever it takes just for a moment worth of peace.
Well, Doc, what is the... getting back to kind of your own personal experiences with them, you said when you were 13, they took you to a ritual. What happened after that?
Well, I was going through the ranks like anyone else, except, as I said before, I had 200 years worth of family history, and other, shall we say, dark secrets about the Illuminati I was learning at that point.
Yeah.
But when I was 17, something interesting had happened. This would have been, the late 60s, early 70s, when all these things were coming about. You see, the Order of the Illuminati, at that point, had been trying to infiltrate the branches of the United States. The military branches, the Army, Navy, Marines, and the Air Force.
Sure.
But the problem was, they were trying to send their own people in under chaplain status. Now, that's not to say these Illuminati witches were saying, hi, we're the Illuminati, we're trying to become chaplains. No. What they were doing was claiming that they were members of witchcraft, and that they were trying to, go in under chaplain status, just like any other religion. Well, that might have been the day and age of, flower power and the hippies, but even then, they weren't going to allow people in the occult under chaplain status, not back then. not yet. Nevertheless, excuse me, the Illuminati was going to do this anyways. So they literally sent in hundreds of us at once to join the various branches of the United States Armed Forces, and we went in with a three-pronged attack. Now, the first part of this plan called for us to set up a fully operative coven at every single military base we ever was stationed at. It didn't matter which one, we were to set up a fully operative coven. The second part of this plan, we were to recruit key members of those bases into the covens we established. This way, whatever they had access to, we now had access to. And the third part of that plan called for us to make sure that every single occult religion in America would receive federal recognition and status. And unfortunately, Adam and Luke, we were just too good at what we wanted to do. Because if you check, let me think, that's the Army Chaplain's Handbook on Religious Requirements, that I believe is the April 28, 1978 edition. For the very first time in all of U.S. history, you will find listed major occult religion in those chaplain's handbooks. We're talking their Sabbats, their the instruments that they use for their practices, burial rites, religious services, name it. It's in the chaplain's and the Army chaplain's handbook now. And if people would look at all these other bases around, well, as a matter of fact, now that I think of it, that Air Force training base, I believe it's the one in Colorado Springs, Colorado, they just put in another sacred circle there for anyone who wants to worship any of their occult religions is allowed to use that sacred circle for whatever occult reason.
I'd like to ask you a question. Can these rings be found in every city, like every major city?
Sacred circles?
Yes.
Well, it really depends on which group it is. But if it's the Illuminati, you can find it in the major cities, yes.
I've kind of searched for something like that, a meeting here in Nashville, and I haven't been successful in finding anything like that. So,
well, that's because you don't know what you're supposed to be looking for.
Yeah,
as if they're going to make it easy or obvious. No, you, especially if it involves the Illuminati, you have to be trained by the Illuminati so you know exactly what you're looking for, or you're always going to miss it.
Right.
I can guarantee.
So you were in this kind of infiltration program, and what happened to you? What happened to you next?
Well, let's see. This would have been back in, let me think, it's about the summer of 76 now. I was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, and I was walking down the road going to the PX because there was a couple of supplies I needed to pick up. And along the way, I ran into a colleague of mine, someone who was also in the medical business. You know, this is no one I really knew, just an acquaintance. Well, anyway, so we're striking up a conversation, and well, about 10, 15 minutes later, he had to go somewhere. But before he left, he asked me what I thought was the silliest question on God's earth. Well, at least back then. Now, remember, I'm an Illuminati witch at this time. He asked me if I wanted to go to church with him on Sunday. Now, could you see me, a Luciferian witch back then, setting foot inside of a Christian church? I mean, my goodness, that would have been the first time in history I think the rafters really would have fell in on my head.
I think you would have set on fire or something. Yeah.
Oh, something. I mean, I would have gone up in flames. But, let's just say, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said, but let's just say the answer was no.
Sure.
Well, anyways, for the next 3 years of my life, no matter where I went, and I mean no matter how far I went, there was some born-again Christian just waiting in the rafters to witness to me. Well, to make a very long story short, I finally understood what I was doing in light of what the Christians were telling me all along. So it was on April 15th, 1979, and I owned up to the fact I was a sold-out slave of Satan at that point. But on that same day, I left as a born-again child of the King, and I'd been fighting against the order of the Illuminati, their plans for the New World Order, exposing everything that they've been doing for the last almost 34 years now.
Right. So knowing what you know, I mean, do you have a good idea of what the sequence of the takeover is?
Well, yes, I've never forgotten them.
Sure.
I mean, you figure I was in for 20 years. I've been fighting against them for 34. So, excuse me, I've got 54 years worth of knowledge about the Illuminati, inside or outside. But one thing is guaranteed, I can tell you. It was back on May 1st, 1776, when Dr. Adam Weishaupt, who held the chair of the professorship of Jewish canon law at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, Germany, he established the Order of the Illuminati with the help of his friend Maya M. Schobauer, who would later change his last name to Rothschild. Now, does that name sound familiar at all?
Yeah, it does to me. Yep.
Yeah, you got to believe it.
The House of Rothschild.
Anyway, oh, yeah. The Rothschild family, the one people who sits down every day in the city, as it's known as, in London, and they establish the fixed price of gold every single day. Well, anyways, basically what had happened, back in 1773, the Vatican, had received quite a number of complaints from various monarchs and nations throughout Europe. The problem was the Jesuits were interfering in everything. Finally, those monarchs sent letters to the Pope. That would have been, let me think, back then that would have been, I want to say that was Pope Clement II, or the third, one of the two, I believe it was. The three common complaints they had against the Jesuits was, one, for a priestly order, they were fabulously wealthy. Two, they were constantly interfering in the political affairs of the monarchy and of the nation. And three, the Jesuits answered only and only to the Pope. Not even civil law or state law could touch them. Well, the various nations and monarchs sent their letters to the Pope, and quite a number of them, even before the Pope said anything, they told the Jesuits, pack up and get out of their countries. Eventually, in 1773, the Pope bent to the will of those European leaders because he didn't want to lose his control over Europe. So Dr. Adam Weishaupt in 1773, who was also a Jesuit priest, now became a defrocked Jesuit. And he had a very, very big axe to grind at that point because of it. So when Rothschild and and 12 of his most financially influential friends approached him. They basically invited him over, you know, to his mansion one evening with his friends. And basically, they told him, excuse me, we know you have the occult knowledge and genius to put it together. We've got the money. You do it, we'll back it. Basically, that's how the Illuminati was formed. Now, it took Vitop. Now, let me explain something about Vitop.
Yeah.
Vitop was one of those rare geniuses. If you're lucky, you get one or two of them in a generation. Just like Nikola Tesla and Einstein for the early parts of the 20th century. They were two geniuses that just couldn't be touched. Well, anyways, Vitop was one of those rare geniuses. So for 3 years, he sat down and basically came up with all the plans, the goals, everything about the Order of the Illuminati. He leaned heavily upon the ancient Babylonian teachings that we find under the original co-founders of the very first religion on the earth, and that was witchcraft. Those co-founders would have been Semiramis and Nimrod. And he took all of that and extrapolated and furthered the goals and everything about it to where he came up with a seven-part plan that called for, and the seventh part called for what he called the creation of a novus ordo seclorum, or a new world order.
Now, too, Doc, was he was influenced by Freemasonry as well, I believe.
No. You see, it was Vitop who sent his right-hand man. You see, okay, let me explain this.
Okay.
In the early days of the Order of the Illuminati, Vitop himself infiltrated other occult schools and societies of his day and age, like the Masons, the Rosicrucians, based out of Jacobinism, so on and so forth. Excuse me. And what he was doing, he was taking out the best and brightest minds out of those other occult schools and putting them in his own. Now, it was his right-hand man, Baron Aleph von Koenig, who he sent and met with the 23 Supreme Masonic representatives of the world back in 1782. Now, after Koenig met with those representatives for 30 different sessions, it was on July 16th, 1782, at what's become known as the Congress of Wilhelmsbad in Germany, they signed a blood contract vowing to follow Weishaupt's seven-part plan towards the creation of the New World Order. So from that moment on, the Illuminati are going to have to worry about meeting places or things like that. They've been meeting at the Masonic lodges ever since that date and age. The hardcore fat kid.
Hello? I think we lost him. Hey, Doc, I don't know what happened.
Neither do I, but I can tell you this much. Out of the last 12 shows I've done, 10 of them, the same thing has happened, or someone has been sending a signal to jam the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They've been doing everything, to shut me up.
Okay, I think we were talking about... are you there?
I'm listening.
Okay, I think we were talking about the infiltration of Freemasonry with Adam Weishaupt.
Right. Now, do you remember where we left off?
We were talking about how he was infiltrating. He was, and they were meeting with other Masonic groups.
Yeah, what was going on? Adam Weishaupt had sent his right-hand man, Baron Adolf von Knigge, to meet with the representatives from the 23 Supreme Masonic Councils of the world. Now, after meeting with them for 30 different sessions, those representatives signed a blood contract vowing to follow Dr. Weishaupt's seven-part plan towards the creation of a new world order. And once that happened, now this was back at the famous Congress of Wilhelmsbad, that was July 16, 1782. Once they did that, the Illuminati didn't have to worry about setting up their own temples or places to meet. They've been meeting in those Masonic temples ever since. The hardcore fact is that ever since that date, not only have the Illuminati been meeting in these temples, but 95% of all Masons haven't got a clue what's going on within their own temples. It's only the top 5% that really know the truth of what's going on because they're in the order of the Illuminati to begin with.
Sure. Gotcha. Yeah, it's the inner circle.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's only, as it says, it's only the top 5% that really knows what's going on within the Masonic world. And the Masons actually think that they're just a bunch of good people trying to do a bunch of good deeds, following a nameless god, and believing that so long as they stick to their Masonic oaths and obligations, they will make it to the great grand geometrician of the universe.
So eventually the Illuminati was banned, at least in Germany, I believe.
What's that?
The Illuminati was eventually banned in Germany?
Well, yes. You see, what had happened, that would have been right around 1785 that, let me think, that would have been, that's it. Duke Karl Theodor, who was the Elector of Bavaria, had received information from various sources that the Illuminati had been formed and that certain, let's say, influential people were a part of it. And you see, this is what really got his attention, because what had happened, by the time 1789 had rolled around, the 2,000 wealthiest and most influential political people in Germany were part of the Order of the Illuminati. And this really gave Duke Karl Theodor pause for consideration because, I mean, think about this. What could you and I do right now if we had in America under our control the 2,000 wealthiest or most politically influential people? Could you imagine what we could do?
Yeah, really. It'd be nice. You could change some things, probably.
Well, you see, this was going on in Germany back then, except it was for the evil people. Duke Karl Theodor, once he received all the necessary information, he actually was able to round up quite a number of the members of the Illuminati, and eventually Weishaupt also. But shortly after he gave his testimony, Weishaupt escaped and was hidden away in another country for the rest of his life in Wittenberg. But even though Duke Karl Theodor had outlawed and disbanded the Order of the Illuminati two times. They still thrive to this very day. The truth of the matter is, he had sent out, I believe it was 25 letters to other monarchs and leaders of various nations and warned them of the Order of the Illuminati and sent them the transcript of the court case. The sad part is, none of them listen. And if we look just into, you know, the immediate future, right around that time, if you check the writings of the Order of the Illuminati, they themselves proclaimed that they were the cause behind the Great French Revolution. And it's not that the king and queen back then weren't warned. They were warned. But they figured that was France. And Germany was over there. This, you know, doesn't affect them. And even the queen's own sister now warned her of what was going on. She basically said, no, you obviously don't understand. And unfortunately, less than a year later, the Great French Revolution had happened, and Queen Marie Antoinette and her husband were executed.
What was the, what do you think the plan was for France? Do you think that they really wanted to try to really take it over?
Well, yes, you see, France was just the first step in many, many, many tiered steps that they would have to take to overthrow the monarchies of Europe. That was one of Weishaupt's major goals. He had to get rid of the monarchy because back then, well, let's face it, in Europe especially, we were governed by kings and queens, and they ruled under what they believed was divine right or divine rulership. Well, Weishaupt was totally against that because, remember, this was the individual who was going to send up, you know, a one-world global new world order. This would be under one person, so we're looking at a global dictatorship. And another part of the problem is a lot of these monarchs and such were, let's say, being carefully and slowly manipulated by the Catholic Church. And Weishaupt had to also, among other things, destroy the religious effect over Europe and make sure that eventually it would be destroyed in America. And when you look at the history of it, sad but true, these things did happen. Weishaupt's seven-part plan is all but complete. When we think back, it was just back, not even what, 22 years ago when Papa Bush, as I call him, stood before Congress in 1990, and he proclaimed that we must create a new world order. After him, it was Mikhail Gorbachev who was calling for, out of nowhere, a new world order. After him, it was Pope John Paul II. After him, it was Prince Charles of England, and so on and so on and so forth. Now, this was no new catchphrase that Papa Bush had created. No. He was repeating the marching orders of his masters in the Order of the Illuminati. Remember, it was Weishaupt himself who penned the seven-part plan that called for the creation of a new world order. But one interesting question. Now, before Papa Bush used the term new world order, want to take a wild guess as to who used it before him?
Huh. Yeah, I'm really not too sure. Possibly, maybe, well, yeah, Adolf Hitler.
It was Adolf Hitler,
yeah. The New Order, yep.
Mm-hmm. And the reason he was doing it was because he was put in power by the same people in the Order of the Illuminati. Now, interesting, when we think about this, let's even extrapolate. Wasn't Hitler also calling for the thousand-year Reich of Germany?
Yeah, was.
Okay. Now, let's bring it to Papa Bush. Wasn't he calling for the 1,000 points of light?
Yeah, 1,000 points of light, yeah.
Now, what all this is in reference to, this is just Illuminati codes that they're using here. This is in direct reference to their belief that Christ is not going to rule during the millennial reign. They believe that their God, known as Lucifer, is going to reign over the earth for 1,000 years. Now, let me explain this to you so you can understand it from an Illuminati perspective. The Illuminati are absolutely convinced that in the beginning, Lucifer was equal to God in all things. However, as the millenniums rolled by, it was God who became jealous of Lucifer's equality with them. So he had his two-thirds of the angels cast out Lucifer and his followers out of heaven. Right now, the Illuminati are convinced that they are literally summoning up enough of the Force to where at the Battle of Armageddon, they're going to kill God and the Holy Spirit and put Lucifer on the throne where they feel he rightfully belongs. And right now, Christ is chained to a huge boulder in hell because they betrayed the cause.
But they don't believe that Lucifer is the same as Satan, do they? They believe that he's God of light.
No. Satan is just a Christian boogeyman that was created to keep the little kids in line. You know how your parents would say, if you don't behave, you're going to go to such and such place, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's all they see him as.
Okay, so that's how they view him.
Right.
Okay. So their Lucifer is more of a, that's like the kind of like a Prometheus kind of character, that he gives the knowledge and the light to mankind.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, the hidden excuse me, the hidden or the secret wisdom. See, that's what the name Lucifer, Lucifer means the morning star.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the order of the Illuminati from the left, it means the wise ones or the bearers of light.
You said you worked with the military, right?
Yes.
Could you maybe describe a little bit of the practice that you'd go to? I mean, go through?
What do you mean?
What did they have you doing specifically?
The military or the Illuminati?
The Illuminati.
Yeah.
Well, as it says, I was busy running covens at that point. When I was in Seattle, Washington, we had a major coven in the Puget Sound area. And in that area, interesting enough, I remember, it must have been a good 15, 20 years ago, I was doing a particular radio show. And an old colleague of mine, Dr. Ted L. Gunderson, he passed away a couple of years ago now, he brought a friend of his on who happened to have been a police officer who was from that area. And I'm explaining on the radio show about the drug trafficking that was being done there and the human slave industry that was also going on in that area. And the officer stopped me and he says, wait a second, are we talking about, and I don't remember the exact area, but, and I said, yeah. And I said, and he says, now how were you bringing them in and out? He says, it was easy. We had the warps under our control, so, you know, we were sending people in and out like you can't imagine. And that's when he said, you were the ones I have been trying to bust back in that time.
Whoa. Huh.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say this, but he was trying to go up against the order of the Illuminati. It's not going to happen like that. I just simply explained to him exactly what we were doing, and hopefully he was able to pass that information on to, you know, others he had known back then.
Doc, what is your take on what's just kind of digress a little bit, what's kind of your take on like the whole Sandy Hook thing? Do you think that there's anything involved, like Illuminati
ritual or anything involved with that? I haven't seen anything this well orchestrated since 9/11. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind whatsoever. I know when I see the footprints of the Illuminati, this is definitely them. Let's go back to what I said before. For a year, they have been trying to take away Americans' rights to bear arms according to the Second Amendment, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now, there was an immediate resistance. So what did Obama and his brilliancy do? Well, it wasn't Obama, but it was the Illuminati. They immediately, now think about this, immediately started orchestrating these contrived occurrences. And seemingly, one incident right after another has been happening. I mean, in all of U.S. history, never once have we ever seen such death and destruction under, you know, the so-called illegal firearms. In all of history, we just have never seen anything like this before. And it came literally out of nowhere. Why? Because the Illuminati could not take away the weapons immediately. So they came up with the so-called, you've heard of the Hegelian dialect, right?
Yeah, the dialectic, Hegelian dialectic, yeah.
Right. You cause a problem and you sweep in with the answer you already prepared, and you look like a supposed savior at that point.
Right.
And that's what they were doing. And every single and after every single incident, when people dug in even further, as far as their resolve to refuse to give up the Second Amendment right, well, they continued on with the next incident and the next one. And I remember when they had asked me on another radio show about the Aurora, Colorado incident at that movie theater. I said, if you really think it's going to stop here, you better hold your breath, because it's not over by a long shot.
It was and just getting started then.
Yeah, and sure enough, it kept going. And it's going to keep going until they realize they made a serious miscalculation as far as Americans' resolve to keep the Second Amendment, or until they can make an incident so big and so grand in the scale that by law, they could force Americans to give up their weapons. But I say by law, jokingly, because the Second Amendment grants us that right. But, nevertheless, we still see that usurper to the White House illegally trying to take away our weapons. But, as I said, keep an eye open. This is not over by a long shot.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree. There seems to be a real pattern of who could really go in there and do that and kill like 20 kids? You know, it's just absurd.
Well, you see, I know that the incidents has happened, and I feel so sorry for those parents and friends who have to deal with the mess of all this. But the fact of the matter is, these are contrived occurrences. Someone is causing these things behind the scenes to happen, and I know an Illuminati setup when I smell one.
Sure. Absolutely.
Give us 1 second. We're working out some technical things here.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, you're back. All right. We seem to be having some technical difficulties. They might be jamming the signal, huh?
Well, as I said, of the last 12 shows I've done, 10 of them, there has been sudden mysterious problems with the phone lines. On one show in particular, we were able to record the actual jamming signal that they were using to block the radio waves from going out. And there has been incidences where the entire blog talk or whatever I was speaking on suddenly dropped, completely.
Doc, do you have you ever had any, just to ask you, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but...
I haven't had any attempts in my life.
Yeah, any threats or...
I lost count after 50 different attempts.
Wow.
They've tried to stab me, they've tried to poison me, they've tried to shoot me, they've tried to run me over. I mean, there's only, you know, so many different ways that they can do it, and as I said, after 50 different attempts, I lost count.
Right.
You know, you see, the problem is, it's not me, the person, that they're worried about. It's what I know that they're afraid of. And it was back in 1979, I started revealing everything about the Illuminati. And, of course, back then, in 79, no one had heard of any of this.
That's
Most
true.
People thought this was just a tasteless joke at best. But, wind it up 34 years later, people have stopped laughing. Everything I've been trying to warn about, everything I've been telling them about, the Illuminati's plans, their goals for the New World Order, it's all coming to pass right before their very eyes. And people just don't know exactly what to do about it, which is why, among other things, I've created a DVD series called Secrets of the Illuminati. And anyone can find it on my website. And what we're doing, we are exposing everything that the Illuminati have been doing so that hopefully through the process of educating people in America around the world, if there's still enough time, we can put an end to all this.
Doc, can you kind of explain about... Well, actually, before I get to that question, I wanted to ask you real quick. Have you met anyone else that was involved with this?
Only one other person
that
I've gotten out of it? Only one other person that I personally knew who had left and lived for any length of time. Her name was Elaine. But Elaine died a number of years ago. It was from, you know, health complications. They didn't get her. She just, you know, had some serious health issues.
Sure.
But aside from Elaine, I personally don't know of anyone else who is actually in the Order of the Illuminati that left and is still alive. Now, I've heard tales of one or two other people, or actually two or three by now, but I've never spoken to them. I've never met them head on. Because there were certain questions I could ask them that would let me know immediately if they were telling the truth or not.
Yeah, you would know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no way you could be trained in the Order of the Illuminati and miss those things I would ask you about. There's absolutely no way.
One of the things I wanted... when I think of the Illuminati, I think of... I really do kind of think of a Masonic society, and I don't really think in the term witch. Why do they? I guess that must be an inner secret that they have that they call themselves witches. Why do they call themselves that?
Well, when we look at the definition of witch, basically, it means a wise one or a wise person.
Okay.
You know, and that's what they consider themselves to be. You see, the Illuminati not only believe that they are intellectually superior to every single person on the earth, but if we go by their writings, they believe that they also have a higher quality of humanity or humanness to themselves. In other words, they think that they're superior to everyone in every possible way. Anyone who is not one of them, they consider to be just chattel. And that's it. You know, so much human livestock that can be bought, sold, traded, or killed on a whim. That's how they look at you and Luke and me and everyone else in this world. That is not one of them. You're just human livestock that can be bought, sold, traded, or killed off at a whim.
I'd like to ask you if you still practice any kind of occult magic ritual or anything.
No, I'm a born-again Christian.
Say again?
I'm a born-again Christian. I would never dare touch anything like that again.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't get filled in on that.
No, I'll have nothing to do with anything like that ever again.
Yeah, but you know about it though, and you can kind of teach it, people against it, I suppose.
That's why I've been exposing the Illuminati and all these other things almost 34 years.
I'd like to talk about some about. I wanted to talk about the cards, the Illuminati cards.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen. I was actually at the. Was it the Future Congress one? And I did
this one put on by Brian Hall.
Incredible
man. He does such a faithful job every year of putting on Future Congress. I think it's up to number 12 or 13 by now.
This is the one with Tom Horn, that Tom Horn did, David Hitt, in 2011.
Yes, I know both of them quite well. As a matter of fact, I spoke for David Hitt just back in January at a prophecy summit that they held in Houston, Texas.
I did see your presentation on the on the cards, and mm-hmm. I know that they're from a role playing game from the 90s.
Well, that was the outer reason for their creation.
Okay.
See, the cards themselves were printed between the years 1982 and 1995. A 13-year printing, not an accident, trust me. And these cards, there are three different sets of them, are very, very seemingly on the surface prophetical in nature, because among other things, they predicted the destruction of the Pentagon and the Twin Towers during 9/11. They also showed that the Capitol and the White House, which were also slotted to be hit and destroyed, were left unscathed, just as the cards showed that they would be. And the first person that we would blame, and it's in the cards again, would be Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
All that was in the Illuminati cards. Other incidences such as the BP oil spill, the Fukushima Daiichi power plant disaster, the death of Princess Diana of England, so on and so forth. There's so many things in there that they said would happen, and it has.
What do you know about the illustrator of the cards?
Now, this is what's interesting. Steve Jackson, who was supposed to have been the person responsible for their creation, his office was raided, I think it was by the FBI or the CIA, I can't remember which. It's one of the government bodies. And all the equipment and everything else was confiscated because they wanted to know, where did this man get his information from?
Was this after 9/11 that this happened? His office?
I think he'd been closed since 95.
They've been trying to put out new things. As a matter of fact, I think, now don't quote me on this, but I believe that they're going to try to put out another Illuminati set. I don't know for sure. As I said, I'm waiting on this because, see, I was very, very fortunate in that once I saw the cards, I knew what was going to happen. I've got the complete sets in my possessions, and for anyone else who tries to get them, I'm not kidding. You can go on eBay, but good luck, because just trying to get one of the original sets, I've seen bids over $3,000.
$3,000 for a set of cards?
For the original, for one of the original sets, yes.
And I think you have some of them, don't you?
I have. As I said, I have the original two sets in my possession.
We're getting weird things going on again.
Yeah, same problem just happened again. It just dropped my computer off of it. Hopefully his is still recording.
Yeah, it is. You can tell.
Okay.
Add you back in, Luke.
Alright.
Okay, sorry about that. We're trying to get it together here. I apologize, too. I'm a little under the weather tonight myself, so.
Well, we keep plodding on.
Yep. Also, too, about a couple of interesting things I wanted to ask you. The Great Seal of the United States, that's one we see on our money every day, and nobody really knows what it means. And the second thing is that's very interesting that you kind of touched on briefly was kind of the root of Nimrod and I believe the Queen of Heaven, Semiramis, of being kind of the root of the occult and witchcraft.
Well, yeah, it was them two that started the very first religion on the face of the earth, and that's known as witchcraft. You figure that happened back during when Nimrod was first establishing his kingdom, and by my memory, he set up 10 nations within that kingdom of his, and of course, they eventually started building the Tower of Babylon. What had happened, I believe it was his uncle Shem, when he found out, and I'm talking of Shem of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah. Once his uncle found out about this religion of his, what he established, according to the story, Shem took his own nephew, Nimrod, outside of the city walls and killed him on the spot. He then cut his body up into 10 pieces and sent one piece to each of the cities as a warning to the next person who would dare blaspheme God in that fashion. Well, his mother, Semiramis, being the smart cookie that she was, took the entire religion and pushed it underground. But at that point, the damage had already been done. Witchcraft had begun to spread throughout the world once people's tongues were confused after the Tower of Babylon. You see, when people were dispersed throughout the world at that point, they didn't forget their occult religion. They took it with them. And as they established their own nations and own languages, the only thing that changed were the names, and that was only in accordance to the new dialect that it was being translated into. The same gods remained the same. The same belief system had been there. It was just under a different name now. Nothing new had changed aside from that.
So that reminds me of the 10 different pieces. That reminds me of the story of Osiris.
And well, that's where they get the story of Osiris from. Hmm.
So Nimrod,
it's just another countercultural story based upon the original events that happened in Babylon.
Right. Also, too, the Great Seal of the United States.
I'm not two seals. They are not your two seals. They never have been, never will be. Those are the two seals of the Order of the Illuminati. When I was in the Illuminati, I had seen many documents in wax that bore those seals. Now, in the United States of America, the highest form of law is a treaty. There's nothing higher than that. It's not even subject to the ratification of Congress.
Sure.
You can't show me one treaty, one amendment, one ratification to an amendment, an executive order, or anything of those nature that bear both those seals. Because, first of all, those aren't the seals of the United States of America. Those are the seals of the Illuminati. Second of all, the seal that bears the pyramid on it has never been cast yet. It does not exist. The one with the eagle exists, but the one with the pyramid never has, never will, because those, as I stated, belong in the order of the Illuminati. Now, for almost 34 years, I've challenged people to come up with just one document that bear those two seals, as I said, a treaty, ratification to an amendment, an executive order, anything of that nature. Come up with just one document that bear both those seals. And in the first 34 years I've been doing it, no one has ever done it. Why? Because that second seal doesn't exist.
Huh.
So any of those laws, so-called laws, that's being signed into action, they're all illegal because they don't bear the two great seals.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, never really thought of it that way.
Doc, over the summer last year, I had the chance to go to the temple, the Masonic temple, Scottish Rite Masonic Temple in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you mean the House of the Temple?
Yeah, the House of the Temple. I believe you saw the picture of me sitting there on the throne.
Yes, and, I did. I recognized that throne immediately, if you remember.
It was very interesting, you know, a lot of things. Of course, Albert Pike is buried in there, and it's kind of like more of a shrine to Albert Pike than anything else. I have a story about it, but I kind of wanted to get your idea about, you know, how is the 33rd degree, the Scottish Rite, are they the Illuminati? Are they somehow linked to them in a way?
Well, some of them are. You see, if we go by the writings, the letters of Albert Pike to Giuseppe Manzini, and Manzini was the second head of the Order of the Illuminati after Weishaupt had died back in 1830. Pike and Manzini had written quite a number of letters back and forth to each other. And it was because of that, among other things, that General Albert Pike became the head of the entire southern jurisdiction of Masonry. In one of those letters, Pike had stated, you may repeat it, now we're talking about the Illuminati now, you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degree, that the Masonic religion should be held by all of the high initiates and the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. See, Pike very well knew what the Masons were really getting into now. And it was because of Pike that all the rituals that you see nowadays in Masonry, it was really Pike who revamped them all and rewrote them and made them to what they are. As a matter of fact, one of the Masonic writers once stated that Albert Pike took Masonry out of the log cabin and put it into the temple. And so Pike is considered to be one of the three greatest Masonic writers in Masonic history. And yes, he was one of them.
So he was one of the Illuminati, and he established that 33rd degree in the here.
Well, the 33rd degree is supposedly just a symbolic degree or an honorary degree, but that's
right.
Not the truth. You see, there's a secret about the 33rd degree, and I'll explain it to you. At the end of the ceremony itself, to become a 33rd degree Mason, you will be escorted to a room, and there's going to be in that room two thrones. The throne on the left-hand side will have all the regalia of a monarch. The throne on the right-hand side will have all the regalia of a priest. Now, there'll be one person in that room with you, and he's going to say one and only one word. He'll say, choose. Now, if you choose the regalia of a monarch, well, he's going to shake your hand, pat you on the back, and you get your 33rd degree honorary degree and diploma and everything else. Now, if you choose the regalia of a priest, at that point, they will have realized you've gained enough enlightenment and that you, at the same time, are going to be initiated as a first-level Illuminati witch. That's the big secret behind becoming a 33rd degree Mason.
So that's what you choose it.
Yes. You see, it goes back to a very, very old saying in the Illuminati. There's a saying that goes, let the kings be kings, let the priests be priests, let the bankers be bankers. What it is saying is that let whoever wants to rule the country rule it, because everyone knows the priests rule the king, but it's the bankers who control the priests.
Who control everybody else.
In other words, it falls into what's known as the golden rules. Whoever has the gold makes all the rules.
Yeah.
And that's why, to this very day, the Rothschilds are the head of the order of the Illuminati.
I think that's pretty pertinent to what's going on today. I mean, it seems like the banks, all the bankers and such, they seem to be more in control than anybody else.
Well, of course, because there's only two nations now that's left that do not have a Rothschild-controlled central banking system. You see, a number of American presidents were assassinated because they tried to stop or reverse what constitutionally can only be described as an illegal central banking system under the Federal Reserve Act. We go by the writings of the Constitution. It clearly points out that only and only Congress has the authority to print money. They're the only ones. And yet, we've allowed an illegal agency to enter American soil, print money that isn't worth the paper it's printed on, and mind you, charge us a tax on it to pay them for the usage of that illegal currency.
Yeah, charges interest on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, that is insane. But this is what this is what we've allowed to happen. I mean, it was for that reason that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in 1863. He himself was noted for blocking the central banking system from coming into America because he said it would be the death of us all. Look at what happened with John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
He himself stated 2 weeks before he was assassinated that he was going to reveal the true power behind the government and that he was going to make it his business to put us back on legal currency. Anyone who's ever tried to block the Illuminati from putting in their central banking system have been knocked off.
Ends up dead.
Exactly.
I want to tell you my story real quick. When we went to the temple, this is odd. You know, I was there with my
dad. Yeah, what were you doing in the house of the temple?
Well, I was just curious. It was just it just seemed like an interesting thing to do.
You better make sure I don't find out you're a closet Mason.
No, I'm not. Trust me. Luke might be. I don't know.
But,
no, Luke sounds like he's got an honest voice. I've already seen your picture. You're in trouble.
Yeah, true. So we go in there. I'm with my dad and my stepson, and we're doing the tour, you know. And they had a gift shop and everything, and we're doing the tour, right? And my stepson, he's 15 now. He was 14 then when we went, and he goes, this guy comes up to him and says, hey, come here, I want to show you something, this guy in a suit. And it wasn't anybody that was with our tour group. And he said, no, I really don't want to go with you or anything. And I'm just curious if you have an idea about what that was about.
I have no idea. I wasn't there.
Well, this is like, I just, he was trying to, going to show him something or...
Pull him away from the rest of the group.
Yeah, pull him rest from the group. It was just really, it was really odd.
I would have gone with him just to find out.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, man, you could have infiltrated for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to worry about their infiltration because I have hundreds of their own Masonic books, and I can't even tell you how many of them are coded. But I was in the Illuminati, so I know how to read their codes. I know what they're really saying.
Well, Doc, I wanted to ask you before we let you go here, what's next for you? What are you doing now?
I'm going to be in Waterflow, New Mexico next week. If people would go to my website at www.itsagodthingproductions777.com. Now that's itsagodthingproductions777.com. And look under the, what section is that called? The upcoming events. You'll see the different places I'll be speaking in and other places I've spoken in, radio shows, so on and so forth. It's all there on my website. Or if people want, they could find me on Facebook, Doc Marquis, or they can call me at 402-228-9476. And if they call me anytime after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll usually be home by then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Doc, so much for coming on. Stay on the line with us. We're going to close this section out, but just stay on the line so we can say goodbye to you. And
you got it,
Luke. We're going to go to the outro.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, we will be right back on Conspiranormal. All right, we are back on Conspiranormal. What'd you think, Luke?
Tell me about the rituals.
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
You're frustrated, aren't you? We were talking a little bit about that before. And, I was pretty happy with that interview.
Yeah, it was cool. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I mean, at the least, it's pretty good information, I think. I mean, So... Any insights into it, what you thought?
Well, yeah, like I was saying, it was interesting how he was saying that the Illuminati order is higher than the Masons, and you had to get to the 33rd degree, and after the 33rd degree, then you could, ascend a higher level into the Illuminati, like it was a group above, a promotion.
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. I never really thought of it like that before.
Telling him about that stuff, I was hoping he could kind of give me some insight into what happened with my stepson there when they told him to, when the guy asked him to come into the little room,
He's absolutely right. Like, he wasn't there,
Right, yeah.
The guy could have been a creepy pedophile trying to give him candy
or
something.
Well, I think they're probably all creepy pedophiles, man. As we heard about in right before we started the show.
I've ran this through my mind over and over and over again, and I just cannot, I think I have an idea, I don't really want to say it, but why do these men in power have some kind of attraction to young boys?
Go ahead and say it, let's talk about it.
Well, I think it's to do...
This is
with
the adult version of Conspiranormal.
I actually think it's to do with stealing their energy, stealing their spirit, and they kill them after they try to... They somehow probably try to steal their spirit and energy and keep it from, going to a different plane or whatever. Because this whole sexual abuse thing, I think, is tied in with sacrifice, and the sacrifice is just part of it. The sexual abuse, Kundalini, stealing sexual energy from the boys, and then disposing of their bodies is the ritual sacrifice part.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to get the power.
Right.
like the energy
right
of that child.
Exactly. And just like a Native American would kill a deer or something like that and eat its heart, you know, thinking that it was eating or gaining the power of that deer's spirit.
Yeah.
Same motive.
Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not excusing human sacrifice.
No, but in yeah, but way. It, but
we don't advocate human sacrifice.
No. I understand that a lot of elitists are really just twisted in the mind, you know. They're not they've got a lot of psychological problems and stuff, you know, this desire for power and whatnot. But if you could have any beautiful woman in the world that you wanted, you know, innocent or not, and then put them next to little boys. I mean, like, who would pick little boys?
Our little girls, our teenage girls.
Yeah, that happens too, right?
You know, okay.
But the common theme seems to be little boys.
Yeah. I think what it is that people, once they get to a certain level, is they just get bored with anything that they have.
And now it becomes a game of what I could get away with.
What you can get away with.
Yeah.
So that's why you probably have, like, weird things going on, like snuff films and stuff like that. It's just absolute total depravity and weirdness. And, you know, I think we talked about it on one of the other shows. I think we mentioned it briefly. Remember I showed you an article about something going on in Uganda where...
Yeah,
they're sacrificing little boys.
I was about to mention that.
For basically, like, these guys are going in, like normal run of the mill businessmen,
flying into Africa to choose their boy to sacrifice.
You get the witch doctor to sacrifice a little boy for you, and then all of a sudden, you know, and then there's all this other weird kind of stuff that, like, I was listening to a podcast not too long ago, and they were talking about how there was like albinos in Africa are valuable. Like, if you cut off the arm of an albino child and give it to a witch doctor, then that gives you some kind of power or potency.
That starts to get hazy there with all of their traditions, because that goes back to their weird tribal thing. They still believe that you could just go to the witch doctor and have them have you do some weird kind of, like, voodoo practice or whatever,
right,
and get rid of your ailments going on. And they had to have nothing to do, like, say you got an STD, you know, that has nothing to do with that, what they have you do.
That's the other thing, too, like, they were talking about guys that have HIV in Africa, which, of course, you know, Africa's got the highest level of HIV infection, you know, AIDS.
Per capita in the world.
In the world, yeah. And they said that if you go and have sex with a virgin, then that magically gets rid of your AIDS.
Exactly, that's the witch doctor crap that they still believe in.
Yeah, it's weird. And then there's also it's mixed in with this kind of strange form of Christianity too, which is like the where you get the Uganda, what's the guy, the Joseph Kony guy, you know, the whole Kony 2012, help us against Kony. help us invade Africa,
help us put all of your money into our pockets.
That's right. Yeah, well, the guy was that guy was kind of weird too, because he was remember, he was like...
found later naked on the street.
Yeah, masturbating on the street corner. Yep. That's the kind of quality stuff we like to talk about on Conspiracy Normal. But next week, we're going to have on a guy named Chris Putnam. And he's, you know, the whole thing with the Pope. He co-wrote a book about the St. Malachi prophecy.
Mm.
Which is, anybody's not familiar with that, that's basically the prophecy. The guy in the 1100s, St. Malachi wrote a prophecy about all the coming popes from his time. And supposedly, this pope that just retired a few days ago was the next to last pope. And now we're going to have the last pope. And we're going to talk about that. And also kind of like the Vatican interest in UFOs. Which is something that a lot of people don't know about, so.
Yeah.
Well, if there's anything you want to add, I think we'll call it a night. It's getting kind of late. I know you got to go do some heavy drinking.
Yeah,
so.
I guess my girlfriend bought me a 12-pack when she went grocery shopping.
Man.
I've got the best girl in the world.
You
got
to keep her, man.
Just on record, you can't get no better. You can't get no better.
I hope she's listening.
She'll never
contribute to your alcoholism.
She'll never listen to one of our shows.
Oh, man, don't say that. But, if Chris is on, she'll listen.
Oh, yeah, right. That's true. She's never met Chris, but once she listens to Chris's voice. Well, I mean,
yeah, Chris is just awesome. And, you know, we want to thank Dot Marquee for coming on. He was a pretty awesome guest. You know, I think there's a lot of good information that he talked about.
And it was definitely a different perspective than what we're used to.
But. Yeah. I mean, listen to his story. I mean, he seems like he believes what happened. So, you know, I don't know about the Illuminati cards. I'm still skeptical about that.
Yeah.
I'll remain skeptical about that.
I'm skeptical too, but I do think that there's something going on there. I mean, it's a little bit more than coincidence.
Sure. Sure, sure. Well, Luke, why don't you take us out, man?
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Conspiranormal. And hopefully you'll join us next time.
Yeah, hopefully. If it was a complete disaster of the show.
A nice, mellow ending.
Chris should be back, everybody.
Yeah, Chris will be here.
All right, join us next week, next time on Conspiranormal!
Now, you're painting a picture of lots of sort of high-level paedophile characters in the centre of government. What on earth purpose would that serve?
Oh, if someone is inclined in that direction and you can supply them with boys, then you've got a hold on them, or girls. There's nothing worse for a politician than being exposed in the murder and sexual abuse of young people. And if you've got a politician who is abusing and killing young girls and boys, better boys or girls, then you've got a hold on them. This has been a standard German intelligence tactic for decades.
Well, surely it's not just the Germans. I mean, the British intelligence surely are using these kinds of tactics. Any intelligence service would want to.
No, we're the good guys. I mean, MI5 and MI6 don't do murder. Obviously, occasionally it's necessary to take people out, but that's always done by independent contractors. We're the good guys.
You're English, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Well, I am British. I'm in favour of the British, and I certainly count myself as a patriotic Englishman. And I am a Britisher, yes. But we are the good guys. And one of the reasons why we're the good guys is we don't approve of the killing of children. We'd never get British intelligence setting up a shooting like the Sandy Hook shooting in the United States, which was again set up by the Germans via Mexico. And a bunch of crazy Mexican drug gangsters rolling up to a school, shooting up the kiddies. I mean, it's just absolute nonsense.